together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I've got my bride. It's Thrive with my bride.
Hello,
again.
Hello.
Ah, it's great to have you with me, Vicky. It's always better with you. Always, as Jack Johnson said, better together. Better together. So thank you for joining me. Today we're going to talk about all of us come into marriage looking for something. That's understandable. We're looking for it as it leads up to marriage, and we go into marriage looking for certain things. But God's word tells us we're going to need to adjust what our focus is, what we're looking for, what we're making much of, what we think is most important that we're seeking after. And sometimes what he brings us is not on our radar at all, but should be. And so we keep reminding you this, but we're going to say it again today. Marriage is wonderful and it's God's good gift, but you cannot do it apart from his supernatural empowering.
Right.
It's a gift that just doesn't work with it just two human beings going at it in their own strength, own wisdom, own measure of how much love and patience and mercy they have. And so I've said it in a previous show, but the longer I read my Bible and the more I walk with the Lord, the more helpful I find it, that if whatever the passage is you're looking at, push it back and stretch it out. Back it up and stretch it out. Start reading sooner and keep reading longer. And so some of you, if you grew up in the church and we played a word association game, I say marriage, what would you say in the Bible? Ephesians 5. But we all start reading in verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. It all goes together. Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he knew what I'm about to tell you about husbands and wives is radical. You can't do this on your own. So he starts in verse 18 by saying, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Spirit. We come into marriage way more filled with us. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have to be filled with the Spirit. And even if you're thinking, I don't even know what that means. Just like right. In an earlier show, I pressed Vicky, what do you mean, remain in Christ? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have these biblical terms, but if we don't break it down, you're like—
Right, these Christian words we throw around.
So let me help you. This verse is not touching on two separate subjects. When he's like, when I don't get drunk with wine, that's bad. New subject, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's using drunkenness as a word picture, metaphor for what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. It's sad, but most of you listening have probably seen someone drunk at close range, perhaps friend, family member, coworker, I don't know, neighbor. When someone is drunk, they are not like their normal selves. They're either way more mean or way more fun. You're mm-hmm. like, "Woo! I've never seen Uncle Harry dance a Irish jig." Mm-hmm. I know. He's drunk right now. They do things, they say things they wouldn't say. They do things they wouldn't
have
do.
A boldness.
They have a boldness. That it's have. Like a different version. That is exactly what God wanted to communicate to us. Because think how often we just keep saying, "Well, I'm sorry, that's just who I am. That's just who I am. That's just who I am." Whew, I get it. Man, there's a really rooted version and hardwired version of Brad Bigney that's inside me. It's still there.
There is.
Whew. But Holy Spirit can begin to cause mm-hmm. Brad Bigney and Vicky Bigney
that's right.
to do things, say things, think things, respond in ways they never would have on their own. It's the Holy Spirit controls me. Because even think about what the Bible says in Galatians 5, Vicky, what are some of the fruit of the Spirit? So when he controls you,
right.
Again, break it down. What do you mean filled with the Spirit? Well, when you're filled with the Spirit, what's the fruit of the right. Spirit? What's it look like?
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness,
gentleness,
and self-control.
Yeah. So some of the very things that are lacking in your marriage are the things that begin to flourish and show up when there's more of the Holy Spirit and
less maybe for the first time
of you. Yeah. So be filled with the Spirit as you head into marriage. And then I also love, he touches on something we talked about a lot for a number of shows, gratefulness, gratitude. Mm-hmm. So he goes, be filled with the Spirit. He says, giving thanks always for everything God the Father has done. And then verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. And so I do believe as you go on to read verse 22 through 32 that he gives roles in marriage.
Right.
He says, husbands, lead, love, serve. Wives, submit, respect, compliment. But guys, I want you to hear it right now. Both of us, men and women, husbands and wives, are supposed to come into marriage with a readiness and a willingness to lay aside your preferences, your quote, sense of rights. And so marriage was never designed for the man to be king and for the woman to be handmaiden.
Please,
that just shuffles around and scurries around serving him endlessly while he gets his way, submitting to one another. And so as you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and surrender in this marriage, woo, there ought to be places where you realize, here's what I want, here's what I thought, but I'm going to serve them. I'm going to prefer them. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to do contrary to what I would do. So we're talking about surrendering. We're talking about a new focus. We're talking about looking for something different, a new perspective. But Vicky, I want you to touch on for a minute, what about where we are now? We want to make sure that you hear, it's not that we're like, oh, we're at a very different place now. We don't even have to think about this. How bad was I when we first got married? And where have you seen growth?
What a brave question, Brad Bigney.
You know, what is it that I do now that is different? And I hope you've got some examples.
I do. And I think it's really funny. I mean, because you all don't know how we roll this whole thing. But like, we have a general outline. But like Brad's never heard any of this that I'm getting ready to say. So it's kind of like, yeah. Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, in some ways, I've truly forgotten because I don't focus on it. I don't dwell on it anymore. But I do remember, I mean, I can be in tears and probably, you know, if I go too far down this. Because to me, it was just a rough, sad, tearful time. I think there was just lots of despair. I'd never felt this lonely before. Mm. I was disappointed because I'd looked forward to marriage. And it was like, wow, this is so not what I thought it was going to be. And not only was it so not what I thought it would be, I just didn't know how to make it any better.
Yeah.
And I remember praying, crying in the shower, which I think I've told our listeners that was my crying place. Just, what is it, me? Is it him? And we just could not have any resolution. So I think the main thing as I thought through this question is you kind of put off the vibe. Now, not initially, but just think once things went south, which was pretty quickly.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. You kind of put off the vibe, don't bother me, don't talk to me, don't ask anything of me. In fact, you kind of annoy me. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt like I was just walking on eggshells. And I didn't really feel like there was a safe place. You were not a safe place for me to go and say, hey, the car has a knocking sound. I know we have no money, but I need to take it somewhere.
Yeah.
I didn't feel a safe place where I could just even things like that, that I would try to take care as much as I could. But at some point, I need help to know where to take the car, you know?
And she was not, please know, she was not like, well, where did she come up with an idea like that? What made her think that? I have to be honest, as I look back, I made her think that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had, without using words, kind of projected this sense because I was so busy feeling sorry for myself. You know, I'm working 3 part-time jobs and I'm in seminary and I'm. And so I had conveyed to her, do not approach me and tell me anything that involves something I need to do. Because I'd gotten it in my head, and this is selfish, sinful, and wrong, but I'd gotten it in my head, I have it so hard. All she should do is just encourage me. Don't bring me anything else. So this was real, what mm-hmm. she's saying. She was not crazy in her head.
Yeah.
That I can't approach him. I don't know when would be a good
right.
time.
Right. And that's one thing I wrote down. I didn't feel heard or even seen, and it was never a good time to approach you.
Yeah.
So that was very just lonely. You know, I didn't know how to, mm-hmm. how do I communicate with my husband things that I feel like we really you know, need to talk about and have right. to talk about. So it was never a good time. It, yeah. You know, think, okay, you always say, well, approach your husband at a good time, make sure he's rested. Well, there never seemed to be a good time to do that.
No. And I think, with three part-time jobs and right. full-time seminary.
Yeah, yeah, to your credit.
There wasn't a lot of time. But what I see now and what I hope she's about to tell you that I do now.
He's hopeful.
Is I should have made time for it.
Right.
If she rapped on my little door in the trailer where I was studying Hebrew and Greek, I should have turned around mm-hmm. from the computer and said yes and made time.
Right.
And that you never think you have time. You make time for right. what is
and
most important.
Once again, we've brought out before too, when you choose to marry someone, you choose to, you know, you choose to have to think of someone beside yourself.
Yeah. All right, we're talking about a new focus, new perspective, like waking up in your marriage, but life in general, looking for something different than what you used to look for, looking out for something different than you used to look for. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll dig into it some more. What is our focus supposed to be in not just marriage, but in life if we want to have a sense of thriving? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a second. And let me just say, there is something so refreshingly honest about listening to two people talk about how rough it really was in the beginning of their marriage. Not a lot of people want to discuss that today, especially when they're at the point of quote unquote having figured it out. They just go through the highlights. Maybe the Instagram version of their marriage. Not Brad and Vicky. They're transparent here. They're talking about the lonely parts, the misfires, the stuff you didn't know were going to hit you so hard when you got married. Let me say this. If that's where you are right now, crying in the shower and he doesn't even know it, listen, that doesn't mean you're failing. It means that God is actually doing something. I know society says marriage is easy. Nah, get married. You can get divorced if you need to, if y'all don't work out. But that's not how God designed it, because thriving isn't the absence of tension. What if all of the stuff that's happening in your marriage right now, the resentment, the expectations, the silence, is not a sign that it's over, but actually the evidence that God is pulling things into the light so he can do something better? That's the kind of stuff that you're going to hear on Fortis Institute, the kind of stuff that you're hearing with Thrive, and you'll continue hearing with Thrive. We don't give you how to win every fight in 5 steps. No, that's not what Fortis Institute is about. We want to get under the surface. And if Thrive has helped you do that, would you consider standing with us? We've been at this for over 25 years, first as Wretched Radio, then Gospel Partners Media, now as Fortis Institute. And the reason that it keeps going is because of people just like you who say, you know what, this has helped me and I want it to help others as well. We call them Gospel Partners, regular folks just like you who give monthly so we can continue to make this kind of content and make it for free. But listen, your local church comes first. I tell you that all the time because it does, always. Your local church is your first priority. So if you're not giving there right this moment, do not give to us. Give to your local church first, get that area cleaned up, and then if you can come back and lock arms with us, we would be more than thrilled to lock arms with you as well. You can get all of the details about what that would look like in your life right now at FortisInstitute.org. Also, don't forget to check out Fortis Plus. It's our app where you get all of the content that I'm talking about completely free. New content added every single day. Marriage and parenting, biblical manhood and womanhood, all rooted in the same kind of clarity that you're hearing right now with Thrive. There's no paywall, no bait and switch, just absolute truth. You can download it wherever you download your apps or just go to fortisplus.org. Now, let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about a new focus, a new perspective. In fact, just having eyes that look for something that you had not been looking for in life, but in particular, in your marriage. And you find it all through God's Word. I think about Philippians chapter 3, that says, indeed now, this is Paul talking, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Vicky's touched on it, and it's just so true. This is not just how do I get a better marriage? It's two pronged. It's a vertical relationship that's improving, and it's horizontal earthly relationships improving.
They're both related to each other.
Yeah, and these two things intersect with each other. Most of you, if you were honest, I think you'd have to admit, it's almost never true that someone says, I have a vibrant, intimate, white-hot, amazing relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and then I have terrible earthly relationships. Mm-hmm. I needed to know Jesus better, more intimately. Vicky needed to know Him better, and then we needed to extend what we were getting from Him to each other. So Paul says, it's the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. For His sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Until you let go of you and stop chasing after you and stop looking out solely for you, you will not gain Christ. And he says, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. If you were honest, you're probably like, yes, I want to know Him. Yes, I want to experience the power of the resurrection. Share in His sufferings? Mm. But it's often that pruning, the suffering, the trial, the pain that produces the fruit we're actually looking for. He died for us. And He's lovingly pleading with us to surrender and be willing to die to self so that we could, A, know Him, and then B, relate to others in a way that just had not been possible before. So what else would you add, Vicky?
Well, I just think now, I mean, you've grown in so many ways, and I'm just so grateful. I mean, I think now you place—
Let's talk about it.
Let's do 18 shows on that.
Maybe not.
Yeah. you know, I think— part of it is you place a value on our relationship that you didn't before. And maybe you could just briefly touch on, I think once we were understood biblical priorities better,
yeah,
that really set us on a great new path.
Yeah, this would be a good place to talk about this.
I love this. And it's so helpful. Like I don't do much counseling with Brad, but sometimes I'll do, and I'll just think, this is really helpful to any marriage, you know?
Because part of what was off with Brad Bigney is often off with every human being that heads into marriage. You can be off in relationship priorities and not know it, but you will not be in a marriage and not know it.
Right.
It's pretty common.
It's very common. As we meet with people, I see it often.
And again, God graciously intends for marriage to be a correction to that.
Right.
But we turn it into a war as we dig our heels in. So here's what I think I see from Scripture as relationship priorities is the number one relationship for every human being, male or female, is that you are if you come into faith in Christ, you are a child of God first,
right?
Person of God. That relationship has to take priority. And I think you've heard each of us say it, but my walk with the Lord and what I'm getting from Him in relationship to Him hugely impacts my marriage. Because A, it gives me things I can extend to Vicky I don't have, and it meets needs so that I don't put expectations on her that exceed what she can do.
That I can't bear.
Yeah. So, child of God, person of God, number one.
And I think you can often get that one right, but then you kind of get the other ones.
But then
skewed.
If you chose to say I do, and I assume the bulk of you who are listening, who've chosen to tune in to Thrive, it's because you're married. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to learn about marriage and you love to be married.
Which is great.
That's great too. But if you're married, then get this, your number two priority is that you are a partner. You have a marriage partner.
Right.
So you may have had friends, guys. I see both genders get it wrong, but guys can sometimes hold on to guy time. It's the guys, and we take a golf trip together. We take a hunting trip together. We do bass fishing in Alabama. Right. I have every other Friday night, we hook up all our computers, and we do this game where we all play each other. I'm not saying there's not a place for that, guys, but if your marriage is not a priority, then you're off.
Yeah.
Something should have changed. It's not like nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. I have all the guy time I ever had.
It's a radical change.
Number two priority is marriage. Then if God blesses you with kids, then your third relational priority is parenting. Mm-hmm. You're a parent. You're a mom. You're a dad. And while I picked on the guys for a minute right there and said, hey, you're still playing a computer game, mm-hmm. bass fishing, hunting, golfing trip.
Right.
Why don't you, Vicky, touch on what can happen right here?
Right.
If God blesses you with children and you're a mother,
right.
you're a father, that still is position and priority number three.
Mm-hmm.
Not one, not two.
And it's easy to get out of focus because, you know, children are needy. They need their diapers changed. They need, you know, to cook their breakfast or whatever. So I understand how it happens, but your children are going to be better in the long run if they see Jesus, your spouse, and then them. Yeah. They're just going to feel more secure knowing my parents love each other. Yeah. They laugh together.
So
they have a good time.
Don't hear what we're not saying.
Right.
Priority doesn't mean at the end of a week, you literally measure the number of minutes
right.
you spent with the kids, spent with your husband, mm-hmm. and husband better be more.
Yeah.
There's no way. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But it has to do with your heart. It has to do with your sense of what is most important in life.
Mm-hmm.
You do not put the kids ahead of
right.
spouse.
And I mean, I know this sounds, I mean, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this on the show, but like I love Dateline and all those stories. And so often when it's a mom that's been, you know, killed or whatever, they'll say, and hopefully I'm not a morbid person, but I think I like justice is done. And I like to see, mm-hmm. you know, how they figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
But often they'll say, you know, well, often it's her husband that killed her, but they'll say, but she was a good mother. She was the best. Her kids knew she was there for them. And I'm thinking, well, I wonder if she was there
well,
for
Well, usually
her
it's worded
husband.
This way. She lived for those
yeah, yeah,
kids.
You're right. That's a good point. Yeah. She lived for the kids.
It's
I'm
like,
thinking, okay. Not that that excuses her husband's sin for killing her, but, you know,
right.
that is, you know.
But we live in a day
right.
that it's almost like everyone just thinks,
right.
wow,
that's
I want to be like her.
Right.
Again, we keep saying very often, mm-hmm. you need to know what God's word says. And alarm bells should go off and say, wait a minute, wait a minute. She
right.
wasn't supposed to live for
right.
those kids.
She's supposed to live for Jesus. And by the way, her husband would have uh-huh. priority over them.
And Philippians 1:21 yeah. says, for me to live is Christ.
Right.
Nothing else should finish that sentence. It shouldn't be kids. It shouldn't be marriage. It shouldn't
right.
be, but priority. I'm a child uh-huh. of God. I have a spouse. I have a marriage.
Right.
I have kids. And then I'm a provider.
Right.
You work. And then I hope you're plugged into a local church. I'm a part of a mm-hmm. church. I'm a parishioner. And then finally, I've got some hobbies.
Right.
I'm a player. I like to golf or I like to right. this or I like to that. So you can see how if any one of these gets in the wrong place, I watch sometimes young men, sometimes older, but mm-hmm. they take player, their hobby goes way up the list.
Right.
I watch men more than women take work.
Yes.
Which should be number four, child of God, marriage, parenting, work. And they push it up ahead of marriage. And sometimes they try to defend it, but I want to provide for my family. I want to,
mm-hmm.
I hope you do.
Which is good. A good, worthy
goal. Actually pleasing God with relational priorities may mean that you don't actually have the fast track mm-hmm. in the career that you would have
yeah.
if you were to sacrifice your marriage and your kids. You should be saying no in a way that puts marriage and family and your kids ahead of work. And it just might cost you.
Right.
But it can be so helpful when I sketch this out on the board as
yeah,
I'm trying
I think
to help
it's very
people.
Helpful.
I'm a child of God.
Right.
I have a marriage partner.
Mm-hmm.
I have kids. I work a job. I'm a part of a church. I have some hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
Consider if you're listening today, as you've got struggles in your marriage and it's not thriving. Because listen, if something's in the wrong place,
mm-hmm.
then marriage is not going to thrive. And we're talking about how would we go from survive or really stuck. Could it be that there's other relationships and obligations that you have put in the wrong place?
Mm-hmm.
And oh, listen to me, adjusting this will not be easy,
yeah.
but so, so worth it. God created human beings and God gave us all of these relationships, marriage, kids, friendship. God's not against work. God's not against play.
Yeah.
And so there's a place for this. But you think about certain seasons, one or more of those just may have to be diminished.
Right.
I remember in our season of raising five kids together, there wasn't a lot of play.
No.
We played with the kids.
Right.
But you know, when someone would say, well, what's your hobby? I didn't really have a hobby.
Yeah.
There was, and same way with Vicky, like, well, what's your thing that you just mm-hmm. do for you? There really wasn't a place for that.
And at one point, even you stop traveling quite as much and taking speaking engagements because I just like, I have two or three teenagers.
We had a season
I need your help.
Where the demands of parenting teens was so intense. Uh-huh. I reduced my travel. I reduced the number of commitments to a conference.
And that spoke volumes.
So that I could keep the right priority. We're talking about what you focus on and perspective and what you're looking for. That determines so often what you end up experiencing in all of relationships, but especially this thing called marriage. God wants it to thrive. But for it to thrive, we've got to be looking for the right thing and we've got to have the right priorities.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.